In July 1776, John Adams declared that America's independence ought to be celebrated forevermore with pomp and parade, bonfires, and illuminations, by which he meant fireworks. And in fact, it's likely that on July 4th, many of us will be looking up in the night sky and oohing and aahing at the fireworks overhead. Today on Please Explain, we're going to learn how the experts create those incredible explosions of light and sound. Phil Grucci is the executive vice president, designer, and executive show producer with the company Fireworks by Grucci, one of the oldest fireworks creators in America. His family has created fireworks for some of the largest celebrations in the world, including presidential inaugurations, New York's New Year's Eve celebrations, Millennium 2000, and the closing ceremonies for the Olympics. And I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Grucci to my show. Hello.
Thank you very much for having me.
So first, tell us a bit about your family business. It began in 1850?
Yes, five generations ago in 1850, which was my grandfather's grandfather.
In Italy?
In Italy. And back then it was simply a, and I shouldn't say simply, but it was at that time manufacturing of very large single fireworks and shooting them in competitions and other other forms of exhibits.
Now, a lot of the fireworks companies were started here by Italian immigrants. Was there a special tradition there?
Well, the Europeans, although the Chinese are credited for inventing black powder, and back then, 2,000 years ago, the first firecracker, if you will, the noise-making devices, but the Europeans are credited for introducing the colors and introducing the salts and bringing it from an orange flame to colored flame, blue, greens, and purples. And then from that point, the artistic aspect of it becoming more of a showman's. And a lot of that was in Italy that was created.
Now, the gunpowder was important because it got used in two different ways, in warfare and in celebrations.
That's right, exactly. Warfare being black powder used in artillery and then in celebrations, the black powder used as a noise-making device.
But also in creating missiles, no?
Missiles.
Because whether you're shooting a missile at an enemy or you're shooting a missile up in the air to explode and create fireworks, it's pretty much the same technology.
Correct. The black powder, or gunpowder as people call it, used to make a rocket, which is also synonymous to a missile. We don't use rockets anymore to the old sense of a propellant from a tube, you know, propelling into the sky. We use black powder to launch a firework into the air, similar to a cannonball.
But that's fairly recent, isn't it?
Actually, the launching of an aerial shell is a few hundred years old,
Oh, well, that's recent. I'm an old guy. The Grucci family created something called the stringless shell in the 1920s. Right. How did that change things?
My grandfather, recognizing that the shows are becoming larger and larger and the audiences are becoming larger and larger, one element that was of risk for us was the shells were actually wrapped in cotton string to keep the strength of the payload so it would withstand the shot from the mortar into the sky. He developed a way of creating that aerial shell without using the string, so the string wouldn't smolder and come down to the ground and become, you know, possibly a detriment to injure somebody. So that was a great advancement from a safety side to invent a stringless shell. So now what we only have is very small pieces of craft paper confetti that come down.
But if you get close enough, I once was very close to a fireworks display, and there were a lot of little, felt like sparks coming from the sky.
Yeah, distance to the audience is a big plus for us in safety. And now there's many regulations that dictate how far away the audience needs to be in order for them to be safe, and you don't have that sensation of burning debris coming down on you.
The Grucci's are also known for creating architectural fireworks. What are they?
Well, my best example here in New York City is firing from the Brooklyn Bridge. When you have a piece of architecture like that to work from, and that becomes your stage, there's no better place to place your characters, which is our firework devices, onto the necklace, for instance, of the structure. So using the architecture like the Smithsonian Castle down in Washington, D.C., using the peaks and the various appointments of the building gives us another element for the staging of our performances.
I probably can remember the first time I saw fireworks, but you probably saw them when you were still in the crib.
In the crib and in the carriage. And literally, I remember the days of being down at Coney Island on a Tuesday night with my grandfather, or on Wednesday night at Rockaway Playland here in New York, and I was in the carriage, and we've got old 16-millimeter films of my grandmother putting the handkerchief on the ears and on the head, because you'd be there till the wee hours of the evening waiting for the show to start.
My guest is Phil Grucci, Executive Vice President, Designer, and Executive Show Producer with the company Fireworks by Grucci, one of the most famous fireworks companies in the world. We're talking about fireworks on Please Explain today here on WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Now, you mentioned that fireworks were created because of the creation of gunpowder. Now, what are the basic elements of gunpowder?
Gunpowder is made, or any pyrotechnic or explosive device is made with a common oxidizer and a fuel. And gunpowder or black powder is potassium nitrate, charcoal, and sulfur. Very basic organic elements that are used, that are the charcoal is used as the fuel, and the potassium nitrate is your oxidizer.
Are we using pretty much the same principle today?
Yes, black powder today is very, very similar to the formulation that it was when it was first invented or first discovered. The advancements are in the precision of the granule size and some refinements in the black powder.
And as you said, also bringing color into it.
Exactly.
Now, did fireworks come to Italy through Marco Polo?
Yes, they did.
He brought
pasta
and all sorts of other things, fireworks?
And fireworks. And then hence the art form exploded, per se, if you will.
But the color came from a Frenchman.
Some of the colors came from a Frenchman.
Claude Berthollet?
Yes, which is the blues, working with introducing of the copper salts.
So what did he do? He just he replaced the one of the saltpeter, the potassium nitrate.
Well, if you take the basics of black powder and then introduce a metal or introduce other salts to that, you get the flame temperature to the point where it could burn, for instance, blue with the addition of copper. And if you, for instance, it's just from a layman's perspective, if you ever took a piece of copper wire and put it in a bonfire, you'll see that the flame that comes off of that is blue. So the discoveries in a laboratory environment weren't necessarily in a lab in some cases. It was, okay, well, there's that copper burning in the fire, and it's creating blue, and introduce that to the product.
But I have heard that certain colors are really hard to create. And only real experts can do them.
The blue and the purple are the hardest colors because of the flame temperature. If the flame temperature is too hot, it then becomes pale blue or aqua and washed out.
And dark green is still difficult?
Dark green is also part of the it's difficult, but blue is absolutely the most difficult color.
What causes those sparkly effects?
That's where we introduce metals, fine metal powders. If you see, for instance, the white sparkles is created by titanium and aluminum in many cases. The very white, bright illuminations is magnesium. If you ever took an iron bar and put it on a grinding wheel and you see the brown sparks coming off the bottom of the grinding wheel, well, that's powdered iron that's being heated and burned. Well, we use iron when you see the big golden willows come that drape down to the water. That's iron powder that's being used to create those sparks.
And all of these things go back centuries?
They go back centuries. The metals are a number of centuries they go back. And again, the refinement that's happening now within the last 15, 20 years is the ability to get into the mid-colors, not just the red, orange, green, yellows, and blues. We're working with the tangerines and the magentas and the aquas.
And I assume some of the other refinement is the timing. Because now you use computers.
Absolutely. The technology is just, in the last 15 years, has just exploded again, excuse the pun.
For example?
With the digital age, the adaptation of computers in the initiation of fireworks. In the past three generations of my family, the Grucci family, my grandfather used to light the fireworks with a torch.
Mm-hmm. He'd have to hit the fuse.
He'd have to hit the fuse, light the fuse, and get away, per se. Never keep any party.
And it was dangerous, wasn't it? I remember there was an explosion in the, was it the Hudson River in the 60s?
There was an explosion back in the 60s with a Japanese company. Absolutely, that was done because they were firing the fireworks manually, and one of the fireworks went off on the ground, and it lit the other fireworks that were in the boxes that were on the boat. Now fireworks are fired all electronically. and in many cases fired digitally with a computer, where we have 1/10 of a second, and in some cases, for real elaborate applications, 1/100 of a second accuracy.
So now you don't have a whole bunch of people on the barge where the fireworks are being launched?
Only during the setup. During the program itself, there may be 4 or 5 pyrotechnicians with the authorities out there shooting the show.
Now, there'll be fireworks displays all over America on July 4th. Some of them will be done by respectable, responsible companies. Others will be done by freelancers. I don't know how else to say it.
That's appropriate.
Should we be concerned when a freelancer is doing one of those things? Or are they pretty safe these
right
days?
Now, the regulations are such and the authorities out there are such that they're astute, they're smart enough, and they have the oversight to eliminate many of the quote-unquote freelancers. If you go to a professional fireworks program that's advertised, 99% of the times that company is they're licensed, they're insured, and they're professionals. It's the consumer fireworks and the misuse of the illegal fireworks, which really aren't illegal fireworks, they're illegal explosives, the old M80s, the cherry bombs and things like that, is what causes the bad name in the firework industry.
Is the fact that they're explosives the reason that we get that explosive sound, or do you have to add that for effect?
No, the fact that they're explosives is what gives the sound. It's a reaction faster than the speed of sound that gives you that bang.
And I'd imagine that they're rather volatile. Is there a problem in storing them when you're not using them?
The old adage, keep your powder dry, is high on our list. Keep your powder dry. And the fireworks are all tested to withstand very hot temperatures in storage as well as transportation.
Now, getting them up that high, that's something that was invented by a German? Step rockets?
Well, the rocket, the propellant rocket, yes. But the black powder launching from a mortar tube, no. That was also, the Chinese have developed that. The rocket part of it was German, but the launching from a mortar of an aerial shell was Chinese.
You can actually write with fireworks. How is that done?
Two different methods. One is the payload that envision a 6-inch in diameter ball, say a large softball that has components, little stars loaded inside of it that whatever shape that we load inside of that payload and we explode it up in the sky, that's the shape it's going to take. The happy faces, the 5-pointed stars that you see now in the sky. We're also now getting to a precision where we're actually putting microchips inside of the firework shells. So we can control the height. If you can control the height of a dot and then you start connecting dots, we have the ability now to create some real abstract images such as rainbows and digits and numbers and letters in the sky. Can't spell encyclopedia yet, but you can get some good basic images up in the air.
Well, maybe you can spell Grucci.
Grucci is what we're working on.
I'd imagine that you and everybody in the business sees somebody else do something and says, oh my, that's great. How am I going to work that out for myself?
Yeah.
Have you seen certain fireworks displays that are particularly memorable?
Yes, we've been part of many of them ourselves that we've designed. But for us, you know, when somebody copies what we may do, that's probably the best form of flattery because, you know, we've worked so very hard on those sequences. Our biggest challenge is producing something better than the one we've done previous to that.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we invite your calls to Phil Grucci about fireworks. Our number here is 212-433-9692. Phil Grucci is the Executive Vice President, Designer, and Executive Show Producer with Fireworks by Grucci, which is one of the oldest fireworks creators in the United States. 212-433-9692. We're back with Phil Grucci, who's Executive Vice President, Designer, and Executive Show Producer for Fireworks by Grucci. Been doing it in this country since the 1870s or
correct.
So?
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
And are there certain events that you just automatically are called for?
Well, we've been fortunate. We've produced the last 7 presidential inaugurations, so that one is one that typically would have bipartisanly, whichever party has called upon us, we're there for them.
Are there classes of fireworks? What categories do the backyard fireworks fall into the ones that people buy either legally in some states or in New York State illegally?
Well, there are classes of fireworks shows that we have, city, state, national, and world, which dictates the size and the choreography to music and the quantity and the intensity of the programs. But then there are also consumer fireworks, which is those fireworks you can buy in those states that it's legal across the, over the counter. The firecrackers, the little ground spinners and small Roman candles and things like that, which are very good in quality, and they are used in many different states around the country. Unfortunately, here in New York, they're illegal.
This is something from a listener before we get to some of the calls. He wrote this in through email. At least once a year, 4th of July, almost every town in America has a fireworks display. How many licensed fireworks companies are there to cover all these displays, and how can they all make a living with only a few days of business each year? Because you have New Year's Eve, 4th of July, maybe one or two other holidays.
Excellent question. There's about 200 licensed firework companies nationwide, all part of the American Pyrotechnics Association, which is a trade association that we have nationally. And how do they all survive? There are many, many fireworks shows that happen off-season, which we call it the off-season, in addition to New Year's Eve and Memorial Day and Labor Day. Corporate America does a lot of celebrating and uses fireworks quite often for promotions and advertising and PR.
Are there ever competitions?
There are competitions. There aren't any competitions here in the States anymore, but there are some competitions in Canada and of the such. Unfortunately, they have those competitions during the month of June and July, so
you're busy
at that point
doing
in time, we're
else.
Busy.
Let's go to some of the calls. Our number 212-433-9692. Sarah from Woodbridge, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm interested in knowing about the environmental impact of all these black powders up in the air. When you're at a show, it's so smelly. It can't be good for us.
Well, fireworks are organic. The black powder that's used for the launching and the lifting is an organic powder. And the environmental aspects of it is minimal as compared to the emissions from vehicles and of the such. And we've done some testing on air quality, and we have been allowed to continue our art form for many, many years now.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. And we go now to Bud. Is it Bud from Manhattan?
Yeah, it's Bud. Hi.
Well, when you said Bud, you've said it all.
That's it. There's nothing more to be said, although I do have a question regarding fireworks. I was at a show in Poughkeepsie on June 9, not that long ago, and these plumes shot up in the air as they normally do, and they created these chrysanthemum-like beautiful things. But the difference was that they began to ascend above our head, literally right above our head, that we all had our necks craned up. And it seemed like they were going to touch us, and in fact, you could sort of feel some ash. How could they? What made it possible for them to come down so low upon us?
If the fireworks came down upon you, meaning that you felt hazardous debris coming down, then possibly the wind shifted towards your direction, or unfortunately, possibly you were the barge. If that show was fired from a barge, or the point of discharge was a little too close to you.
So that shouldn't happen, or
there are very strict regulations, national and federal and local regulations that we have to follow as far as the distances, depending on the size of the fireworks we fire, that pushes the audience back to a safe distance. So, for example, if an aerial shell that's fired is 3 inches in diameter, we have a national standard that you would need to be at least 210 feet away from that point of discharge, which would then eliminate you from getting hazardous debris falling upon the audience.
I guess we're experiencing something unique. It was quite beautiful, though, to have it come down upon us like that. It was really wonderful.
And keep in mind, too, fireworks, as you know, are three-dimensional. So there are many times, because they do go up 200, 300, 400, and 500 feet in the air, a lot of the times they appear that they're firing over your head, but they're actually not. They're coming at you, but they're not actually going over your head.
Boy, well, that illusion worked beautifully. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and enjoy. Happy 4th of July to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Jeff from New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Great, Leonard. Thank you. I have the opportunity to be in China for New Year's this year, and their whole attitude towards fireworks is so much more liberal than bars are in this country. I mean, I went to a city where you could buy the fireworks and just go out in a plaza with everybody else and set them off. And I was wondering, is it because we're so litigious in this country that there's so many laws and they're illegal in so many states?
Can I put in my two cents here? I used to live in Chinatown, and I had the most terrible fire than anybody could ever experience. My whole place was destroyed, and it's because somebody was shooting a rocket off on Chinese New Year, and it happened to go through my window, an open window, and set a fire that destroyed my life for a couple of years. So I think that that may be a good reason.
Mm. The regulations that are here in the United States are for a purpose of ultimate safety. The regulations in China, and I've often gone to China, and you could see that they'll fire what we fire out in the middle of the East River on a barge, right in the middle of a street. Now, you know, that's one end of the spectrum. What we have here in the United States is not the other end of the spectrum. It's a happy medium to be able to allow us to continue our art form, but at the same token, always have the safety to the public and to personal property in mind.
We also hear at this time of year at least one person who loses a finger or an arm, a hand or whatever, because they didn't handle them well.
Right now, the fireworks that are allowable to the consumer are not powerful enough for someone to lose their finger or a hand or an arm. Those activities, unfortunately, are being classified as a fireworks accident, but it's those that are getting their hands on the M80s and the professional fireworks, like what we would fire, but they're getting it illegally and they're misusing them. And that's where you're getting these catastrophic injuries. They're not caused by the legal consumer fireworks that are being sold in the states that allow them.
My guest is Felix J. Grucci, known as Phil, Executive Vice President, Designer, Executive Show Producer, and Partner in Fireworks by Grucci. And by the way, you can see him in July 4th, Exploding the Myths, which premieres tonight at 10 p.m. on the National Geographic Channel. Will you be talking about the same sort of thing that we're talking about here?
Yes, and this is an excellent visual because everything we're talking about as far as the creation of the colors, how a firework works, it's all disclosed in that piece. And the myths of our art form are quite nicely shown and illustrated in that the National Geographic Channel piece.
Lisa from Mendham, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I had a question. You know when you go to a fireworks show and they seem to launch a firework into the air and then you don't see anything, all you hear is a big giant boom?
Is that just a dud?
No, if you see duds,
right.
They're called salutes or reports, and the intent, those are intentionally made to go up in the sky. We call them dark, so you don't see them rising, but they just make one loud bang. And they're typically used at the end of a finale or at the end of a firework show to create that rumbling sound to signify the end of the program.
Thank you so much for your call. Henry from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Thank you so much. I'd like to ask, when was music first introduced? I'm thinking of Handel's Royal Fireworks music.
Music was introduced a few hundred years ago,
they didn't have the radio.
They don't have the radio, exactly. So you'd have to have a live orchestra playing in order to really appreciate the fireworks to the music.
But is that important? Because you obviously you can enjoy the fireworks display without the music, but a lot of people want to hear ba da 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 boom.
The audience of today, to an extent, is somewhat impatient to the extent that they want to see a lot of multimedia activity going on during a fireworks program. The days of when my grandfather used to shoot a firework with a torch, and you'd have the oohs and the ahs and one shell at a time going up. Unfortunately, I should say fortunately, the programs have developed to the point where you've got so many other elements as far as the show.
And often you have three separate things launching pretty much the same thing.
Four.
So it's like a three-ring circus.
Absolutely.
And you have to duplicate all of them. They all have to look exactly the same.
When you're firing from multiple locations, which we call theaters, you have multiple theaters, left, center, and right stage theaters. Typically, they're firing in complete synchronization with each other.
When you put together a fireworks display, do you have an ideal viewing spot in mind?
Yes. Most of the times, there's a VIP or that ideal point of view.
Mm. But sometimes that's where the mayor sits.
Or the person that's paying for the fireworks display. But most of the times you do have the audience in the round. So you have to take that into consideration when designing the program.
When somebody is paying for it, can I ask this indiscreet question? How much are we talking about for not the big ones like sure. the Olympics, no, but something that might, you know, I'd be proud that the Grucci family had done for
you
me.
You can go to our website at www.grucci.com and you'll see our entire list of budgets. But our fireworks shows start during the off 4th of July season, start at approximately $5,000.
Really?
We do plenty of weddings. You know, obviously they'd have to be here in New York or on Long Island because of the expenses just to transport. And then they can rise up into the six figures, and there are the occasional million-dollar programs out there.
And by the way, we have a link to that on our webpage at wnyc.org. Toby from Queens, you're on. Please explain.
I am 82 years old, and I remember back in 1930 or 31, something like that, my family used to go to Long Branch, New Jersey. And on the 4th of July, there would be a display at the beach. And I remember distinctly, there were very vivid pictures in the sky. I especially remember a basket of fruit. It looked like a painting. And then at the end of the program, the last display was always an American flag. Now, I don't see things like that anymore in displays, including the Grucci displays. Can you tell me why or what the difference was that would have allowed such beautiful pictures in the sky?
Toby, I'm getting goosebumps as you're saying that, because what you're explaining is an art form that has unfortunately has reduced in the fireworks business and in what we create. And the reason why that is that picture that you saw is what we call a set piece. That was an image that was actually created on a bent bamboo frame that we attached fireworks to and lit them all at the same time. And back then, the audiences were much smaller and much more intimate, where you had many people very close to the fireworks, and they were able to appreciate something like that.
But now you're shooting them up over the East
yes.
River. It's not the same
thing. So if we fired that fruit basket or that American flag out on the barge in the middle of the East River, it takes on a much different drama of scale. It appears to be much smaller. So the audiences now are demanding those big shells that you see up in the sky.
So,
Excellent question, Toby, you see,
progress isn't always really progress.
So you can still do it, except you need a smaller viewing audience.
Yes, the audience.
Maybe for weddings and bar mitzvahs.
We do a program down in Wilmington, Delaware every year with the whole show is all of that type of work, that type of artistic set piece work. It's beautiful because it's very refreshing to come back to that type of an art form.
Laura from Westchester, you're on. Please explain.
Hi. I am a journalist in New York, and I have two quick questions. I covered the Brooklyn Bridge celebration in 1983, where the fireworks, your fireworks, were the most spectacular I have ever seen or could have imagined. And I've been telling my children about them, but fireworks, like theater, are ephemeral, and they come and they go. My first question is there any recording of that show? And my second question is, were the fireworks in the prologue to Woody Allen's Manhattan yours?
The first question is, we do have video and film of the Brooklyn Bridge program. And I may add that as proud New Yorkers, that program in 1983 is the most proud moment that we've had as New Yorkers in the history of our company. We've done a lot of other performances, but to stand on the top of the Brooklyn Bridge and have the ability to fire from that bridge, that was just a wonderful moment for us.
Would that be difficult to do on a regular basis?
Yes.
Is that why we don't see it more often?
And you don't see it really. We won't see it for some time now.
Until the next anniversary of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Even then, because of the security that's required now, the Brooklyn Bridge being one of those landmark facilities that the security that would be involved for us to go rig explosives onto that structure now would be probably cost prohibitive from a security standpoint. And then the second question, yes, those were our fireworks. That was my grandfather that fired those white shells out of Central Park.
And you know what? I just thought of a third question very quickly. During the making of the Brooklyn Bridge fireworks, your family, unfortunately, there was a tragedy in your family. Did that affect how you undertook your various projects in terms of safety, in terms of the risks that you were willing to take?
The Brooklyn Bridge performance that we did, to answer your question, yes, we did look at the way that we operated in the future after that explosion. But the Brooklyn Bridge program happened prior to November 26th. Unfortunately, it was when the day we had our explosion. I lost my father in that accident. It was the only accident in the history of our company. But from that point forward, we look at our business a little bit differently. Certainly, we lost a very close family member, my father and my cousin, and we draw strength from that. You know, because my father would want us to continue to do what we're doing right now and keep the lineage of our family going.
A listener asks via email, will you be using compressed air to launch the way Disney has, in the process that Disney has created?
We do not use compressed air currently. There are some technologies that are being developed right now to do that. Disney's project or Disney's application is a fixed application behind the castle and out in Anaheim, California. So they have the appropriate ability to be able to repeat that show time and time again. Our programs are always on the road. We do one show, and then we need to mobilize off that location. So it's not necessarily practical at this point in time. But there are developments now to make that make the capabilities to do that for the future.
Mike from Manhattan.
Yeah, hi. My wife is from Finland, and their fireworks celebration is on the New Year's. So I went up to Connecticut and got a bunch of fireworks and brought them down to Larchmont, where I live. And I kept about half of them. I didn't set them all off. They've been in my garage since the winter. Is this safe? Because I heard you say earlier that keep your gunpowder dry. Are these things safe to set off now? Because I wanted to set them off for my birthday on the 7th and obviously for the 4th.
Providing they're legal to fire in your community, as long as you keep them dry and you keep them in a cool, dry spot, yes, they have a relatively indefinite shelf life to them. I literally meant what I said by keeping, as long as you keep it dry and you keep it in a cool, dry area, they'll be fine.
Well, the garage is a cool, dry area for the most part, yeah.
Well, okay. Some people do have leaky garages.
That's right.
I'm me.
Okay.
Thank you.
We've gotten a number of calls from people who said that they were married on the night that you did particular displays, and that just really added to the whole experience. I guess getting married or having some other event that's important to you accompanied by fireworks is one of the greatest experiences you can have.
Those a lot of those off the 4th of July programs that we produce are bat mitzvahs, birthday parties, weddings, and they're very special to the guests and the hosts that are having them.
You can see Phil Grucci tonight on National Geographic Channel show at 10 p.m. talking about how fireworks work on July 4th. It's called Exploding the Myths. Mr. Grucci is the executive vice president, designer, executive show producer, and a partner of Fireworks by Grucci, which is one of the most technically advanced fireworks display companies in the world. He's also president, CEO, partner of Pyrotechnique by Grucci Incorporated. And I want to thank him so much for being on Please Explain today.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure.